Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to the score. You heard the voices there of Jake Arrieta and Joe Maddon and, of course, Javi Baez. And we want to thank the fine folks at WSCR for the highlights. They are givers, not takers. They've never let us down.
And Javi, he of the two home runs, was talking, referencing the pregame stretching slash grounds crew members who were present for that meeting in their locker room, the grounds crew locker room down the left field line underneath the bleachers. They were not asked to leave, and they said they told Paul Sullivan it was a sort of a pep talk by Tim Buss. Mostly he did most of the talking, and Anthony Rizzo was asked about it, and he said, yeah, well, we had a meeting before game three in the regular weight room in their palatial clubhouse, and obviously that didn't work out, so they decided to move venues. And Javi said he's never been down there, really, and why would he be, unless he was helping the grounds crew that night. But whatever works, because they got pepped enough for three home runs and 11 strikeouts. But I mean, three home runs, but they got the job done, and a lot of it had to do with Jake and the performance he had in maybe his last Wrigley Field start for the Cubs.
It was reported that Jason Hayward did also speak at that meeting.
That's what he does. He does it postseason.
It wasn't like he didn't take part in it. He, of course, the inspirational speaker before the Game 7 of the World Series. He's you know, again, Tim Buss seems to be getting a lot of the credit for his words, very fiery words, but
because if it's a stretching session, Tim Buss would be running that show, right?
Right.
He's the strength and conditioning coach.
If they have Tim Buss giving speeches, they should give him $180 million as well.
No, I said he was a much more economical speaker when it comes to that. If you're going to have a guy at your event.
It's the going rate, Brian.
Yeah, he can charge $25 a ticket instead of $100.
The Cubs did get the much-needed victory. They won 3-2 and, of course, avoided elimination not just from the playoffs, but, you know, as reigning champion. I mean, there's more to it than just than losing a series. It's about losing the crown, and that's still a lot to overcome, but they proved, at least for one night, that they could get it done. And Joe played his part, got ejected in the top of the eighth for arguing an apparent third strike on Curtis Granderson that was reversed to a foul ball. And boy, if anything had happened, he would have been pretty miffed.
Yeah, here's Jim Wolf's explanation, and maybe you can help me get through this.
Please.
According to Paul Sullivan's column, quote, what I originally thought was he swung and missed. The ball bounced on the ground, so I called Granderson out, Wolf said. Granderson said to me that he fouled the ball off, and Roberts asked me the same thing. I said no. Then he asked me to get help from the crew. After talking with the crew, I was told the ball did not necessarily bounce, but it hit the ground at the same time it hit the mitt. After hearing that, then I heard two distinct separate sounds. So after the fact, he's hearing two separate sounds. And after hearing from the crew that the ball did not bounce, it did hit the ground, but it did not bounce, I basically talked myself into he did foul tip it. And after looking at it, I was dead wrong. I talked myself into the whole thing. I don't even know what the hell that means. So after the fact,
well,
he heard two separate sounds. And
no,
the ball
I think
didn't,
he heard something, and he didn't know quite what it was.
He heard voices. And the crew told him that it bounced, but it didn't necessarily... I mean, after the crew told me the ball did not necessarily bounce, but it hit the ground the same time as it hit the mitt. Whatever. But you're supposed to go by sound as much as sight on a play like that, where you actually hear it tip the bat, a foul tip. But they got, you know, Dodgers got, they lobbied and got the call, and that sent Joe off into, that's bleeped up, screaming from the dugout, come out screaming that, rightfully so. But could have been huge, but thankfully Curtis Granderson struck out again because... He's no Yu Darvish.
Wade Davis got a 6-out save, and it was a difficult one. He was working for it, and it happened. And I guess now that means no more Wade Davis. He'll be available in Los Angeles.
That's what Joe said, And everyone believes all hands on deck in the elimination game. And
except for Wade Davis, because he had a six-out save and
44 pitches?
44 pitches a lot.
48 last night, 44 last week, and took a week between appearances after the 44. So 48, again, are you keeping him next year? Are you re-signing him? If you're not, wouldn't you? But look, if you're going to need him to win the World Series, but you have to get through this game, so...
Other guys got to do it, is the way Joe put it. He basically said they have to be more offensive.
Yeah. Don't worry about the bullpen and the last guy standing. If Chris Bryant and Anthony Rizzo can actually generate some offense, maybe you only have a laugher and you don't even have a safe situation.
Jason Hayward said that he would tell some dirty jokes if they need to be offensive. That's the only way he's going to contribute. Hey, just back off on him.
There once was an overpaid outfielder from Nantucket. What?
The Cubs were 49-15 in the regular season when they hit two or more home runs, and the three solo shots were all they needed to win that game. But again, it's been a weird series. In four games, they have only scored runs via the home run.
Yeah.
Not in the first round, but in this series, you have to have home runs to win, apparently.
Chris Bryant was correct about that.
Yes.
That's what he's fatigued.
He knows it.
And we have to hit home runs, and someone else is going to have to do that because I'm very tired.
That's not exactly what he said, but that is one interpretation.
This hour of the show brought to us by Lake Forest Graduate School. Visit lakeforestmba.edu for their upcoming open house information.
Clayton Kershaw has got a 4.76 ERA in the postseason, and he's been kind of a shadow of his former self, not in the postseason. In the regular season, he struggled. It wasn't as dominant as you expect from a guy like Clayton Kershaw, who is, I believe, the highest paid player in Major League Baseball. Isn't that accurate? I believe he's right there.
No, I think it's Paul Millsap.
It's Paul Millsap, excuse me.
When in doubt.
Yeah, always go to him. The Dodgers have a huge payroll, and they're not afraid to pay people, and Kershaw leads that payroll, I believe. I believe he leads all of baseball. Is that inaccurate? No, it is absolutely accurate. And Jose Quintana has a relatively inexpensive contract, which explains why the Cubs made the trade they did with the White Sox, not just for this year, but he's got 3 years left on his deal, so presumably for the future as well. They needed young, controllable pitching, and Jose Quintana fits the bill. He's been very good, what we've seen of him in the playoffs, and I'm wondering if maybe he finally gets a payoff for that, because unfortunately he's come out of these games.
Yeah.
And he is.
And Dave Roberts also went and gave the quick hook to Kershaw. Here's the two starts for Q and two starts for Kershaw this mm-hmm. postseason. Kershaw 1-0, Q no decision.
Yes.
Kershaw 4.76, as you said, the ERA. Quintana 1.59 ERA.
Right. That's good.
They both have 11 strikeouts, both have four walks issued. The whip for Clayton Kershaw is 1.15, and for Jose Quintana, 0.79. So just don't chalk that one up in the old win column for the Dodgers based on Clayton Kershaw taking the ball. And by the way, didn't he lose his last postseason start at Wrigley Field last year?
He did.
Yeah.
So
he's allowed the Cubs 22 hits in his three postseason starts against the Cubs.
So the question stands. It's been tough luck for Quintana. He's lacked the run support that he didn't get with the White Sox. Are you still, Dustin, anti-Jose Quintana? Are you still hoping he loses this game somehow?
I never, ever wanted him to lose. That's not accurate.
Oh.
I wondered aloud if he was able to get the White Sox stink off of him and be able to perform in a big situation, unlike his former pitching mate, Chris Sale.
So gratuitous shots at Sale aren't meant for Quintana?
Correct.
Okay. Just making sure.
Is there an expiration date on Sox stink? When will you fully embrace Jose Quintana as a Chicago Cub?
When he's been with the Cubs as long as he was with the Sox. I think that's when Dustin finally admits the guy can pitch a little bit.
Sure, that's fine.
So it's going to take a little while.
It's fluid, Brian.
I know.
Usually stink is a living, breathing thing. Even when that skunk that's splattered on the road, the smell lingers.
And you're not the windsock that changes his opinion all the time. The story changes, not you. Is that right?
You put the words in my mouth. I never cheered against him. I said I've never wanted to be more wrong about anything in my life. That's what was actually said. I don't cheer against him. I wondered aloud if he was going to be able to step up, and he has stepped up. He's been fantastic, and I believe he will be fantastic again tonight. And Kershaw has not stepped up.
Will it be enough?
That's the question.
He's also going to have to go 2 for 3 with a couple home runs.
Right. This is a classic game.
He has
game.
To get another hit.
He's going to have to admire a couple home runs while he's striking out Dodgers.
The total is
going to
be 7.5. The total is going to be 7.5 on this game.
Uh-huh.
And the final score will be like 10-9 just because of that. It's going to go completely oppo of what everybody
expects. So you've got the Cubs in the over? Is that what you just gave
probably
out?
Probably the over.
And if you're wrong,
it hasn't come close lately.
If you're wrong, you'll give them the first month of the NBA free?
Sure.
Okay.
Dustin Rhodes, I'm the one to turn to.
The tout. Yeah. Dustin's free service.
Bury your man tonight.
Yeah. Drop your drawers like you're Joe Madden.
Five-star MLB lock of October 19th.
All righty. 312-644-6767 is the telephone number. I think it was Theo, who will be on the score today at 2, that said recently that he felt ill when he thought about what they gave up to make that move, but that it was a move they felt they had to make.
For Quintana?
Yes. So
I think he's still ill about the Justin Wilson.
And the rest of us feel ill about that move. Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score.
Curmudgeon Charlie Steiner, Bradley University's very own.
Not everyone enjoyed.
No.
Yeah,
that was the Contreras montage from MLB.com, but you heard from our very own Pat Hughes here on the score. You heard, I believe that ESPN Deportes would be my guess with the Spanish call and the Charlie Steiner and the TBS call in there as well. 15 and 20 minutes, I'll finally reach home plate. Really? You call Puig's home runs? Do you add that little editorial comment when Dodger Blue is running around or trotting around the bases?
Admiring home runs is an interesting thing because I think that it's exactly as you say. When someone on your team does it, it's palatable and you don't mind it and you come up with reasons. When someone on the opponent does it, then you're kind of like, look at this guy. Oh, what a showboat. Who does he think he is? There isn't the same kind of happy, funny for one is versus the other.
I don't know. This year, the year of the home
it's
run?
It's like Bill Laimbeer.
I think
it's like you got Bill Laimbeer in your team and you find a reason to love him.
Will we look back at 2017 as the year when everyone just came even begrudgingly to accept that? I don't hear anyone getting bent out of shape about it. I mean, guys like John Lackey are retiring, so that old guard will no longer be in baseball. I think everyone knows that's part and parcel of the deal now.
I think it's disrespectful of the flag.
Oh, boy.
That's coming.
That's why ratings are down.
Probably. But it's interesting to see these sorts of things happen. Joe said it again yesterday that and Dustin is jumping on it as a method of investing in the game. Joe said that they have to be more offensive. And as I said, Jason Hayward is going to tell that aristocrats joke in the dugout during the game. Is he back on the field?
Boy.
Is he starting a game? Did you like the lineup yesterday?
Well, man, I liked three of the at-bats. There were 11 strikeouts, right? The Cubs struck out 11 times.
Sure.
They got the job done. I'm not going to complain about it. I would think you'd probably not have him out there tonight. I think you would.
Is that a benching or is that just playing matches?
That's a benching.
Just making sure.
Yeah, that's a benching.
Because you look at what happened with Baez. He was 0-4, and so he was benched.
Yes.
And then he came back and hit 2 home runs.
And his post game, not only at the podium, but on the field, he talked about, everyone just assumes he swings off his heels and he doesn't work at his craft. He seemed very sincere about how much time he put in with the video. And he, very analytical talking about he'd been leaving his at-bats on the, basically the batter's circle. That he had predetermined how he was going to approach an at-bat instead of being in the moment in the box. And to hear a young guy really kind of talk his way through what he's been going through, he's been trying too hard, the old trying to do too much. But it's not like this guy just grabs a bat and goes up there, even though that's what it looks like. But he actually talked about what he's been, the time he's been putting in the cage, in the video room, and in his own mind, trying to figure out what he's doing wrong. And he basically said that he determined what he was going to swing at before he got in the box, and he can't do that. And he hopes that this is, you know, the beginning of good things to come for him.
And if you bench Hayward because you got a lefty in Alex Wood, well, you got a better lefty and a higher paid lefty, certainly, in Clayton Kershaw,
sure,
who's making $33 million this year.
Yeah.
312-644-6767. Let's try Bill. Bill's on the road. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Just kind of want to ask a question about the status of the bullpen for tonight's game. I mean, with Davis not being able to go, you're hoping Quintana gives you 7 innings, but
you're hoping Joe allows him to give you 7 innings.
That too, right? But you know, you have to also assume that you're going to have maybe 1 to 2 high leverage points in the game before the ninth inning. So we already know, you know, John Lackey is your high leverage guy, but
no, stop yourself.
That's just mean.
In all honesty, though, I mean, who do you go with? I mean, it's tough. I think, in my opinion, Strope and Dunsing have been your most competent relievers, other than Davis this postseason. I don't know. What do you guys think?
That's why I gave Dunsing. We had a part of the 5 of 5. One of the questions: who are your three stars? And the 1/3 of an inning Dunsing pitched last night, because the crowd's booing Joe before he gets the first step out of the dugout, because he's going to the bullpen. No one wants to see. And Jake seemed to be doing just fine, thanks. And it looked like Joe was getting itchy even a couple batters before that.
It did.
You know, he's talking to Martinez, do I go now? Do I go now? And Dunsing inherited 2 runners, and guess what? That's where they stayed. He got out of, and you got to Wade Davis. But, Carl Edwards will be available tonight.
You know, I know that no one wants to hear it, but that's your guy.
Yep, that's it.
Whether you want to go to him or not, or whether you never want to see him again, or you think he's going to walk someone.
He's going to get the pitcher. Ball in game time, game situation.
It is just the simple fact that is the guy. John is on the road. Good morning, John.
Hey, good morning, guys. Hey, I got 2 things. First of all, I think maybe the posing after the home runs, that might be in response to what Puig did. Maybe they're showing him up a little bit, because Contreras actually threw the bat down on a single.
Yeah, game 3. I noticed that. I was like, did he just flip the bat on a single? Yes, he did. But I think that I just think that's just the young ball player now.
But I don't think that's a response to anyone else. I think that
they've been doing it all season.
They've been doing it all year.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a tribute to him. Why does it have to be a response?
Then they would lick the bat too, wouldn't they?
Right. Yeah. Again, there are certain players that will annoy you unless they're your player. And then you'll come up with a reason to explain why they're doing it.
I just think with
more
than 6,100 home runs in the regular season, I think this is the year where people just say, whatever goes. You know, hit a home run, do whatever you want to do, trot around at snail's pace, flip the bat, do whatever you want. I just think no one's going to get bent out of shape.
There are no rules.
No, I think everyone.
Okay.
I think Joe said it. Well, you know, the NFL's actually loosening up the touchdown celebrations. And got, you know, because of the no fun league, they finally started changing that a little bit. And I think baseball's probably, they want a younger demographic of viewership. Why would you still have the old unwritten rules of baseball?
Joey Bats.
Yeah.
It wasn't quite that bad, but that's still considered one of the greatest bat throws of all time. And you know what? I love that. I thought that was awesome. Because the way he threw it, it was almost like he'd never need it again, and he was trying to get rid of it.
One of the greatest throwing of bats I've ever seen, it had nothing to do with the home runs, when Andre Dawson emptied out the Cubs' bat rack.
Yes.
Was that, who was that, Joe West? Who was that?
Man, that's probably a good guess.
Yeah.
If you're thinking of any umpire. You guys were wondering if Jason Hayward will be in the lineup tonight. I think he might.
Oh, boy.
John Jay should not.
No,
okay?
No.
Take him out as a defensive replacement?
Have you seen Jay's numbers against Kershaw? He is 2-for-15 with 10 strikeouts.
See,
15 at-bats.
Yeah, all the video work in the world is not going to help that.
So Schwarber's probably not in there against the lefty, right?
Well.
You have Almora.
He was last time he started.
Maybe he will be. So then you have Zobrist out there?
Who would you rather have in terms of trying to bet against the lefty? Hayward or
Schwarber?
Schwarber.
Yeah.
Schwarber. I take Schwarber.
He can run into one.
Yep.
Right.
When the wind blowing out, too. Not that he needs it when he hits it. So
Gonjay's in the lineup tonight. I'll have an issue with that one.
Yeah.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Molly and Hanley. Another gorgeous, beautiful day in Chicago. The weather has been really nice. That, what was it, 65 degrees last night?
Yeah, again tonight, through the weekend, even warmer this weekend. I mean, talk about great baseball weather, as good as you're going to get in Chicago.
Yeah, it's really a nice time of year, and the Cubs did well with it. Let's try to squeeze in Novell. He's on the road. Good morning, Novell.
Good morning. I had a question for Dave Richards.
Oh, good. Hold on.
He'll be coming up. Yeah, you dime your dance floor when. If you have fancy questions, 312-644-6767. Dave will be here in a few minutes. Hey Z, who was that with the rejoin music?
Bubba Sparks.
I like it.
It's a little throwback from my high school days.
Really?
I played classics.
You went to high school? I heard you say really.
I know all I do is push buttons here, guys, but yes.
Wow.
I did that.
I'm just making fun of
it. It was in Indiana. Does that count?
Well, it does, yeah. I'm not going to say it. 312-644-6767. Light them up for Dave Richard. You'll have a chance to get all your fantasy fix next. It's Molly and Hanley on the Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Molly and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 670, the Score. Let's get out to the CarX Tire and Auto Hotline. Your CarX man has the lowest tire prices right now. And there we find our guy, Dave Richards, CBS Sports fantasy football expert. Hey, Dave!
What's going on, Molly? How are you?
We're having a great time. I mean, it's just sort of that time of the year where sports are happening. And now it looks like the Bears are in position to start stacking wins, as we like to say. And it's just the big push for the playoffs. Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I've been sitting on Brent Hutley for a long time. What do I do with Joe Callahan too? Starters or not?
I don't know if you're asking seriously or not. But you know what? A lot of people lost Aaron Rodgers, obviously.
Sure.
And replacing him is going to be next to impossible. You can ask the Packers about that. But Hundley's been in that system for 3 years. I think he's a good replacement, not a great replacement for him. And I wouldn't be surprised if he had a couple of weeks coming up where he'd be 225 yards and a couple of touchdowns, no turnovers, maybe runs a little bit as well. He seems to be a little more spry than Aaron Rodgers these days. I don't think he can make all the throws that Rodgers can make, but I think he's going to be okay as a replacement. Certainly does open the door, though, for the NFC North crown. I got to talking with my brother-in-law this week, and I asked him if the Bears made moves to get receivers.
Yeah, I was asking that the other day.
Right. Like Martavis Bryant says he wants out of Pittsburgh. What if the Bears float them a fourth-round pick or something like that? And then say they go over the top and they try and get Amari Cooper, who's struggling in Oakland. Does that make the Bears a playoff contender? And I think the answer might actually be close to yes, because the things that they have working for them, and fantasy owners know this, I think that offensive line is good. It's better than at least half the league's offensive line. Jordan Howard is clearly doing very well behind it. I think that defense is better than people give it credit for. I think they're going to do a nice job against Cam Newton on Sunday. And I think all that's meant, and we know that Trubisky, I think, is a capable quarterback. All he needs are more reliable targets. And if you had, two outside guys and you keep coming right in the slot and you still have these tight ends, maybe, just maybe, this is a team that can push for the NFC North title. But let's not get ahead of ourselves because they don't have those receivers. The excited Bear fan in me is starting to come out, so I got to scale it back.
Well, you only have a couple weeks to trade deadline, right?
Yeah. So they've got to, if they're going to do, first of all, this is the Bears we're talking about.
Right.
They are as progressive as, I ain't got it in me, but
I know where you're going.
Fill in that blank yourself. They don't like to make a lot of moves. They're very cautious and a very conservative franchise. So I doubt they're making any trades at this point. But if they did, it would be exciting for everybody in Chicago.
It's very interesting you say that because I was talking to a guy about comparing, the progress. The Packers have like a, they got quarterback gurus. They got guys that know how to develop a quarterback. How are they going to do with the guy that's been in the league a few years and been in their scheme versus the Bears with a guy that only played 13 games in college and is still kind of finding his feet. And the answer is, well, you know, the Packers have playmakers. And then you say, well, what about Deshaun Watson? Well, he's got playmakers. So it's very hard to judge Trubisky based on what he's doing right now because he doesn't have playmakers, and playmakers help.
That's very fair, and I think playmakers help, and they would make Trubisky better, but I kind of get the sense that Trubisky can be that type of a quarterback that can take a good receiver and make him look better than he is, and I think that's what we're going to see in Green Bay. Jordy Nelson, Davante Adams, those guys have put up numbers for years.
Yep.
Certainly Aaron Rodgers is the reason why, and I don't know if they're going to be quite as productive with Brett Hundley. I think there's an obvious drop-off there, and I think their numbers for fantasy purposes are going to suffer.
All right, let's get to your public. People need help, and they need you, Dave. Let's start with Andy. Andy's in Wheaton, and now he's on with Dave Richard.
Hey, good morning, guys. I got a quarterback question. Need to start Alex Smith at Oakland or Cam Newton against the Bears?
I'm leaning toward Cam just because I know what Newton's potential is at this point. I know that he's running the ball more, and despite it being a difficult matchup, he's really got three tall pass catchers that make it hard on any defensive back to keep up with them. As well as Vic Fangio has developed schemes to take down Cam in the past, I still would trust him over Alex Smith here. Smith on a short week, I think this is a game where Kareem Hunt can just run the ball and have a huge game for the Chiefs. Alex Smith might not have to do too much, so I would lean toward Cam.
Sean's in Bloomington. He's on with Dave Richard. Hey, Sean.
Hey, what's up, guys? I need one of these three for a flex PPR league. Alvin Kamara, Stephon Diggs, or Ajayi?
I think I would lean toward Ajayi against the Jets. I know he doesn't catch the ball a lot. Maybe Kamara is the better way to go against the Packers. I do think that this is how the Saints are going to roll. I am going to tell you to go with Kamara over Ajayi. I know that sounds a little wild, but because it's a PPR league, I think Kamara can make up what Ajayi could score on the ground in catches, meaning that Kamara can get you six catches, can probably get you 70, 80 yards on top of it. I think that's better than what Ajayi will do.
Let's try Randy. He's in Wooddale. Randy, you're on with Dave Richard.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, guys. I got a running back situation. I'm in a 10-team PPR league, and I got Hunt going today with Kansas City. But because of the buys, I've only got either Jaquez Rogers.
Well, I guess we lost you, so take
it's an either-or, yeah.
Well,
we don't have enough information.
Have a good game, but Jaquez Rogers shouldn't be in anybody's life. If you need a running back and you want to go on their waiver wire and try and find one, I think you can still find Orleans Darkwa. And it looks like he's going to be the main running back for the Giants, and he's looked pretty good the past couple of weeks. That offensive line is starting to look better for New York, and they're going to have a hard time throwing it without all of their playmakers on offense. So I think Darkwa is someone that you could start.
See, Dave's here for you.
Novell has waited patiently. Novell, it's your turn.
Thank you for taking my call. I got Martavius Bryant in the PPR league. I was wondering if I could drop him for Corey Davis, Decker, Rawls, or Juju or Macklin.
Yeah, I think if you need a running back depth and Rawls is on your waiver wire, that's someone that you can go and pick up. I would treat that spot as a week-to-week kind of don't stay committed with anybody in that roster spot. And certainly Martavis Bryant, if you're not starting him, you don't need him. You can put him on the waiver wire, let someone else deal with him. I think the Steelers kind of wish that they could do that with him too. Rawls or Corey Davis. And I would tell you that because Corey Davis isn't expected to play this week, you can go with Rawls now. If he stinks, and I don't think he's going to have a great week, but you never know, then you drop him and you go back to Corey Davis. And if Rawls does well, then you've got yourself a running back. And that's never a bad thing.
Let's try who we got here?
Mark
in Barrington, sorry.
Hey, guys, I got Matt Stafford on bye this week and don't have another quarterback, so need to pick up somebody off the waiver wire. Somebody maybe like Blake Bortles or Taylor or maybe Jared Goff going against Indianapolis this week. What do you think?
If Goff is going up against Indianapolis, I'd tell you to start him, but he's going up against Arizona, and that's going to be a harder matchup for him. Bortles is the one going up against Indianapolis, and he's actually had a good track record against him. I would feel safer going with Tyrod Taylor. He's at home. He's coming off a bye. He's got Tampa Bay. Bucks are actually going to be playing their second game in a row on the road, and they're coming off a tough one against Arizona. Tyrod Taylor's receiving core is getting healthy. Between the two, I think Taylor's better, but I think both are good streaming options this week. And I would start both of them over the likes of Roethlisberger, Derek Carr, C.J. Beathard, who's making a start in San Francisco. I wouldn't get cute. I would go with one of those two guys instead.
And one of our texters wants to know Mariota or Derek Carr. Mariota coming off this short week, and Gruden was very impressed with the hamstring limiting him, making him more of a pocket passer. Did you see the same thing?
Of course, and not only that, but he's practicing in full now. It seems like he's got no restrictions, and that's great because Mariota will run the football a little bit each week, and he's playing Cleveland. So it's a great matchup for Mariota. It's hard to say that he's a bad start this week.
Let's try Brian. Brian is on with Dave Richard.
Hey, good morning. Quarterback question. I need either Tom Brady or Carson Wentz.
They are both top three quarterbacks this week. You, sir, need to make a trade in your league. You're lucky to have both of them. I've got both of them in one of my leagues, and I love it. Brady is who I'm going with. I think it's going to be a very high-scoring game between the Patriots and the Falcons. And, hey, we know what Tom Brady did the last time he went up against Atlanta. He did pretty well, I would imagine.
Took him a while to get going.
Yeah, I would imagine. And the same thing might happen. He might have a very slow first half here, but then he gets a cooking in the second half. I think Brady throws at least three touchdowns and goes over 300 yards.
Don is in Park Ridge. Don, you're on with Dave Richard.
Hey, guys. Flex question for PPR. Eric Decker against Cleveland or Terrell Pryor against Philly?
It's no fun going with Pryor, right, because he's been terrible for so long. And Decker, last week he came out and he did some new things and certainly got a lot more targets. I wonder if that changes now that we know that Mariota can run a little bit and he's not subject to being stuck in the pocket play after play after play. I also don't love the matchup for Decker. He's going to be lined up against Browns cornerback Jason McCourty. He's actually been like the only bright spot for Cleveland. Cleveland's got two bright spots on defense. McCourty is one. Their rookie, Myles Garrett, is the other one. But after those guys, it's blah. And I think that Decker's going to struggle a little bit. Actually, like Rishard Matthews better in the game. I know Pryor has done nothing for you this season, but that Eagles secondary is banged up. And that's another high-scoring game coming our way between the Redskins and the Eagles. I would tell you to start Pryor.
Will the Bears make the same commitment to Jordan Howard at home against Carolina, or was that the byproduct of being on the road trying to protect Trubisky and taking advantage of maybe a more porous Baltimore defense than we're used to seeing?
Brian, I think there's no doubt about it. We're going to see Jordan Howard be the focal point of this offense, almost regardless of who they play. Luke Kuechly did not practice for the Panthers this weekend. That's a different defense without him.
Right.
That second level of defense at linebacker, and certainly when you get into the secondary, totally different without him on the field. I also don't think they're going to have Kirk Coleman, their safety, on the field. That's a difference maker, too. So really, it comes down to that Bears offensive line doing what we know they can do, and that's moving around those big men up front. If they did it last week against Baltimore's big men, I think they can do it this week at home against Carolina's big men. Even though it's a great matchup for Trubisky to throw against, we've already talked about how he doesn't have anybody to throw to. This is a week where Jordan Howard should get going.
Let's try Matt. Matt is listening online, and he's on with Dave Richard.
Hey, guys. I got DeMarco Murray against Cleveland or AP against the Rams.
I'm going with Adrian Peterson, and I was shocked.
You poo-pooed him last week. I asked you, and you said, oh, no.
I'm fessing up to it, and it looks bad, but you know what? Good on Adrian Peterson.
Right.
Really good on the Cardinals for giving him so many opportunities, and he deserved them in that game. And that offensive line was a lot better than I thought it would be. They really came together last week. And then I thought, you know, 12, 13 carries for Adrian Peterson, 27 carries. He would have had a good game even if he had just 13 carries. This week it's going to be more of the same. The Rams defense, believe it or not, they can't stop the run to save their lives. And Adrian Peterson should get another big workload. He is a top 15 running back this week.
All righty, Dave. Thank you, buddy. Always a joy.
Always a joy to talk to you guys. Let's see what the baseball world looks like a week from now.
How about it?
Yeah, hopefully we're still running into conflict and issues with that.
And you can tweet your questions we didn't get to at Dave Richard. And our segment with Dave is brought to us by Muller Honda of Gurnee, where the Muller price is always their best price.
It's Mully and Hanley on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.